for joining us, man. How are you?
Wonderful. I didn't know I was going to be on with the legendary Jim Harris.
Yes. He is the he is the ubiquitous Jim Harris. He is everywhere that we want to be.
I wanted to be there watching people sing Morris Day the other night, but, he was. So.
Oh, yeah, Kenny the Jet Smith.
I missed this.
Kenny Smith was in town.
Okay.
Friday night at, what's the place called? I'm sorry. Louis. Bar Louis.
Oh, it's a Bar Louis?
Bar Louis. They had a little, it was a fundraising event for a real deal in the Rock.
Aha.
And he apparently he's come in several years in a row now. I didn't know that at all. And he was out there. Todd Day was supposed to show, but he didn't. Anthony Hardaway didn't. Your former sidekick was there.
Good.
Clint was there. Sterner was there. I'm trying to think of some other.
I saw Evan Demorell had written up a conversation with him.
Yeah, he spoke with Kenny. Simon Lee and I went out there and to see the Jet. And yeah, he performed Morris Day. And,
really?
And that Jungle Love.
Yeah.
And he did the dance.
As opposed to all the other great Morris Day hits.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the other ones were, but it was fantastic.
Sorry to lead us down that digression.
Yeah, sorry. Well, Scott, I didn't get an invite, unfortunately. And this was Saturday, Jim, or when was it?
It was Friday night.
Okay.
It was kind of. Next time I'll.
Don't worry about it. All the important people were there. They don't need me. So, okay, Scott, we just talked to a gentleman who ran in the marathon yesterday, and I know you had a chance to catch up with some of the folks from the western and northwest part of the state specifically. And the good news was for our Kansans is that everybody got out of there safely.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them, of course, are probably traveling back today. But what in your conversation with some of the runners, what were you able to get from them as far as some of their personal experiences?
More than anything, they were in shock. I spoke to some of them. I guess it would have been less than 4 hours after the bombs went off, and they had gotten back to their hotels and were, of course, calling their families and all that, and we'd gotten word through members of their family to ask them to give me a call when they got a chance, and they were all just stunned because, and I don't know if the person you had who ran the Boston Marathon explained what it's like at the Boston Marathon. One of my good friends, who was a reporter at 4029, is a reporter for a TV station in Boston now. 4029, the ABC affiliate in Fort Smith and Fayetteville, and his apartment is a quarter of a mile from the finish line, and so he always covers it because he can just roll out of bed and go over there for his TV station. And Patriots Day is a state holiday up there. School is out. The Red Sox play early in the morning. They first pitch is like at 11:15. Fenway is a mile from the finish line. The game ends in time for people to leave Fenway and walk over to the finish line. All of the bars and restaurants along the route are packed throughout the day. I know the Little Rock Marathon is a great event and a huge deal, but just imagine what it would be like if Razorback Stadium, War Memorial Stadium, was located a mile away from the River Market, and the Little Rock Marathon ended about 30 minutes. The elite runners crossed the finish line about 30 minutes after a Razorback football game ended.
Yeah.
And that's what the Boston Marathon is like.
Yeah.
It is a huge party. And so for this to happen there is, the mindset is it just messed with their minds. I mean, that's just the only way to put it. One of the runners came up, and this wonderful lady, Mary Jo Brinkman, who's run a lot of marathons and half marathons around the state, and she was running up, and she said that several police cars suddenly came tearing down the route. And this was her second Boston Marathon, and she said that had never happened before, and she thought something strange must be going on. But at that point, she was on mile, I think she said, 23 and was just in that runner's zone and didn't think much about it, just went back to concentrating on what she was doing. And she got to a half mile from the finish line where there was a police car parked in the middle of the road and a couple hundred other runners standing around. And the police officer was standing on the hood of his car telling everyone to stop. And a runner said, "Why can't we go to the finish line?" And the cop told the runners assembled there, "You can't go to the finish line. There is no finish line. It's been blown up." And that's how she found out about it.
Wow. Well, we were talking too, and again, I mean, it all pales in comparison to anybody who's dealing with someone who was injured or killed. But I mean, the thought of getting that far along, or even if it's your first time around or whatever, to be involved in such an event like that. I mean, you know, it's not like you're going to an event. I mean, you're physically, you know, putting yourself through hell to get yourself to a point where you can be involved in this, and then to have it all come crashing down like that. I mean, it's just heartbreaking in so many different ways, and you got to feel for the people who take the time and work so hard to get there, and then, you know, again, the people who are innocent bystanders, they're watching it. I mean, I think the majority of the people that were injured were not even involved in the race, but...
Well, that was one of the people, a gentleman from Ozark that I spoke to, who qualified for the Boston Marathon at the Little Rock Marathon last year, and he ran his race, and his wife was there with him. She was obviously going to be at the finish line to, you know, take pictures of him and cheer him on as he crossed the finish line. He crossed the finish line, and it's kind of a wild scene because all the runners at the starting line have got bags with their bib number on them, and they put their, you know, sweatshirt or whatever, their cell phones, their whatever, in that. They put it on a bus, then they drive it to the finish line so you can collect your stuff there. And he goes and he collects his bag, and he can't find his wife. He tries calling her. It goes to voicemail. He's like, "Well, you know, I guess, you know, I'm going to go ahead and go to the hotel." And his hotel was 3 or 4 blocks down Boylston and one block over. And he goes down to the hotel, and he's there, and he takes a shower, and he gets out of the shower, and his wife is there, and they're sitting around relaxing, and then they turn on the TV and they see what had happened. And as he told me, he said, it was just by the grace of God that she had the same idea of, well, I'm going to go back to the hotel because he's finished now.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, she was standing at the finish line about 20 minutes before the bomb went off.
Man.
So just a horrible, horrible situation. And something I think people who organize sporting events are going to be looking at this, because for years I've always said the thing that would shake the American public would be if things like this started happening at sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's no way to secure War Memorial, the golf course, before a football game.
Mm-hmm.
Big events, people milling around, and hopefully that this is an isolated incident and this doesn't become commonplace, but that is the fear. Where large numbers of people are gathered outdoors, someone could just walk up with a backpack, because who suspects anybody with a backpack now? Everybody carries backpacks now.
Yeah. Now, we talked about it earlier. I mean, you're right. I mean, and the bottom line is, and I guess Rudy Giuliani was quoted yesterday, and we've got a clip from him. We'll play going into the break. But it's a big country. There are so many people. There are so many big, you know, open spaces. Even at an event that's somewhat organized, like a sporting event, I mean, there's just no way to truly 100% protect yourself. It just it's a risk of life. It's a cost of doing business to some degree, and it's a little bit frustrating, because there's, again, you have to realize there's only so much you can do.
That's exactly right. I talked to another one of the runners, and I was asking him what their plan is going to be, and he said that we're supposed to stay here the rest of the week. I've never been to Boston before. I wanted to see the sights and all that, and he said, now we were just talking, he and his wife were just talking before I spoke to him, and he said, you know, we're going to order pizza and we're going to stay in the room. And he said, I think we're going to see if we can get a flight out today.
Yeah.
And they weren't supposed to leave until Friday.
I was thinking about that. It's interesting you say that, because I was thinking about, I figured everybody makes, if you're going to go all the way out there and be part of this big event, you want to hang around. There's so many other things to do. We talked about the Red Sox game, and the Celtics were, you know, supposed to be playing at home. I mean, there's a lot of other things to do in and around Boston. You know, in addition to the marathon, I would think that people would probably make a week of it.
Yeah, yeah, and Boston, for people who haven't been, Boston is such a great walking town that, I mean, you know, you can, Fenway, like I said, is a mile from the finish line, and people can just, you just go there and you walk around, and it's a great sightseeing town. I've been there a few times. It's one of my favorite big cities in the USA, and you know, this is really, like you said, the people who go in, I forget how many runners, they said 20,000, 27,000 entrants, and then you figure maybe add one per person, so you got 50,000 people coming in. That's a lot of tourists.
17,580 finished, 4,496 crossed the checkpoint at more than 24 miles but did not make it to the finish line, so...
Yeah,
and I don't know how many more that means that didn't even get to that point, but
just a horrible event, and I'm sure we all hope and pray that this is the last time that we'll be talking about this in relation to a sporting event.
There's no doubt. Well, let's hope that's the case. Scott, appreciate the time very much. Thanks for the insight, and take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
I appreciate that. Scott,
see you, Scott.
Of the Fort Smith Times. He's the sports editor for the paper. We appreciate him and his perspective after talking to several of the runners. And, again, thanks to Kim Howard, who ran the marathon yesterday for the third time. And across the finish line, he had referred to another runner that he had spent some time with, James Bizet, a 52-year-old from here in Arkansas. 2:46, pretty darn good time. That's
a really good time.
That's impressive. I don't think I could run a half marathon that fast.